Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you. You are the God who
Thank you. Oh, be blessed, Lord. You are worthy, Lord. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. His life was put on the ballots for us, for you and me, for us. Worthy is the Lamb. Jesus' life was on the ballots for you and for me. Before the world began, the Father had a plan that he would bring his family back to him. He would draw his family back. He needed his family. He needed his relationship he had with Adam and Eve in the garden. And he sowed his son in the earth as a seed of sacrifice for all mankind, that whoever would call upon him would have access to the tree of life. This morning, we thank the Lord. We praise the Lord. Oh, Father, we just thank you and praise you, oh God. Thank you for your omnipotent presence, oh God, for your omnipresence, your omniscient presence, oh God. Thank you, God, for being with us when no one else would be. Thank you for loving us when no one else loving us, for protecting us when no one else cared about our life. Lord, we thank you, Father. We praise you. We glorify your name. Thank you, oh God, for watching over the children. Holy Father, we ask you this morning that you continue to cover Israel and Jerusalem. Cover the nations, oh God, even in battle, even in Russia, in Ukraine, in China, Israel, Taiwan, Chinese, Tanner. Lord, Lord, we pray right now, God, that you just do what only you can do, oh God. God, continue to draw souls to you. You said no one can come except you draw them. So we ask you this morning to draw us even closer to you, Father. We ask for forgiveness this morning. We ask for mercy. We ask for continuing love and kindness, oh God, that you forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Father, we repent this morning, Lord. We repent. We come, oh God, with a mindset, a heart of repentance. Oh God, laying it all before you this morning, as always, God. We ask you, oh God, to forgive us of our sins, Lord. Put them in the sea of forgetfulness. Wash them with your blood, oh God. Father, strengthen us in the areas of our lives that we are strong, and the areas that we are weak, make us even stronger. Make us strong, oh God. In the areas that we are strong, make us even stronger. In the mighty name of Jesus. We want to do part two of this message, the wisdom of God are the treasures of men. We want to go to Proverbs chapter 3, starting at verse 13. Proverbs chapter 3, starting at verse 13. Hallelujah, Jesus. It is so good. This is so good. You can start at verse 1, but we're going to start at verse 13. Read these books. I'll tell you, when you have your time, when you have time on your own, just go in to look at the Proverbs, the book of Proverbs. There's a lot of wisdom in this book. I tell you, in the book of Proverbs, it will bless you. It will bless you. Because, I mean, I was just studying this, looking at this morning, and I begin to study it from verse 1 this morning. But that's not what the message I got in the message. I got verse 13. And it was so, it blessed me so much. I tell you, I was so happy looking at it to see. Let's read in the Amplified Bible. He says, happy, blessed, fortunate, and invariable is the man who finds skillful and godly wisdom, and the man who gets understanding, drawing it from God's word and life's experience. Listen, the Logos Bible says, happy is the one who finds wisdom, and one who obtains understanding. In this section, the father encouraged the son to remember his teaching, including love and faithfulness. In doing so, the son will be ensured a long and successful life. The father also tells his son to trust in and acknowledge Yahweh's rather than his own wisdom, to honor God or Yahweh with his wealth, and to accept Yahweh's discipline. We talked about without correction, there's no growth. Without discipline is the same thing. There's no growth. So the father tells the son to accept the discipline of God. This is something we don't want. You know, preachers sometimes have to fall in order to get up, in order to stand up. And when a preacher falls, everybody says, well, I thought she was a man, she was a woman of God. I thought he was a man of God. But sometimes preachers are doing things behind closed doors in the dark that only God sees. And God has to allow them. And matter of fact, he allowed them to continue doing what they're doing. He just don't come and say, look, I'm going to stop him. I'm going to grab his hand. I'm going to put shackles on him. I'm going to put handcuffs on her, muzzle on her mouth. He don't do that. God will let you go. Because, see, he gave you a will. He gave you a choice. If you want to keep messing up, he'll let you mess up. But all the time, while along the way, he is sending somebody that is preaching a message, singing a song. Sometimes you turn on the television, turn on the radio, and you see an artist on there saying something. Maybe a movie star, a songstress, somebody, some songbird is saying something. and it relates to where you are and what you're doing. God is speaking. God is speaking to us. And we would ignore what he is saying through that person that convicts us, or that was talking about me. You know when he's talking about you. I know when he's talking about me. And I got to go back. Even when I'm preaching, I'm teaching, and I hear the word, and it convicts me. It cuts me first. Because like Paul says, we are first partaker of whatever God give us. We don't go in there and say, well, I'm going to choose to teach this today. I'm choose to preach this today. God weighs it on our hearts so heavy that even if we want to deviate from it, we can't deviate. We're trying to teach something else. We want to do something else. And we come right back to that message. Sometimes I go through the Bible so many times. I'm scanning so much, and I'm looking for something else. And God said, no, go back to this. This is what I want you to go. Because there's something in me that God wants to fix. He said, for the gaining of it, wisdom, is better than the gaining of silver, and the profit of it better than fine gold. This is what he says here in Proverbs chapter 3. Verses 14. In the Logos Bible, it says, for her, calling wisdom. Wisdom sometimes is called her or she. For her income is better than the income of silver, and her revenue than that of gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all her desires shall not compare with her. Let life of this in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Now, when you get wisdom and understanding, nobody can really stop you. Nobody can stop you. I don't care who they are. When you have the wisdom and understanding of God, nobody can stop. They're gonna try though. Because the devil going to send people, even your wife, your husband, your children, your brother, your sister, uncle, aunt, cousin, niece, nephew. They're going to try to stop you when you get wisdom and understanding. Hallelujah. Because when you have God's wisdom and understanding, God reveals to you what he wants done, where he wants you to go, where he's leading you. He reveals it to you. There's no mistake about it. It's up to you then to deviate, to leave that path. You know, we do. And we leave the path. Why do we leave the path? Not that we want to, but a friend, a co-worker, a girlfriend, a husband, a boyfriend. Somebody would tell you, man, let's do this. Let's go do this. Let's go this place. Let's go that. Let's do that. And you find yourself enticed by them because, see, the Bible says whenever a man or a woman, when anyone is drawn away from God, they're drawn away by their own lust and enticed. Your own lust is enticed. What you're hearing, what you see, seeing, what you're feeling that move your flesh is what draws you away from Christ. Every time that I find myself getting messed up and jacked up in the flesh, it's because my flesh had a desire, wanted this thing, wanted that. And it was pulling on me so hard that I find myself doing it. Doing it. I remember saying one time I was not going to have a relationship with this lady. I wasn't going to fool with her anymore. You know, I was young in ministry. I think I was ordained then. I was ordained. Oh, no, I wasn't ordained yet. And I had a Lincoln Navigator. I remember that. And we used to do a lot of things. And I told her, I was going to church. I was fighting like it was a fight between my flesh and the spirit. And I said, Lord, I'm not going to have no relationship with her anymore. I'm fool with her anymore. I'm finished with it. And no sooner I get out of church, a weekend, here she calling me, want to get together with me. But God had taken away the desire for me to be with her. It just couldn't happen. And I believe that was the last time that I've seen her. God just took away the desire. See, only way a lot of times we can't get rid of something till we give it to God. We'll try everything to not to do it. But you need God wisdom. God wisdom, God understand to help us to get up and say, well, I'm not going back to that job. They don't treat me right. They don't appreciate what I do there. They treat me like a slave, like I'm nobody. Talk to me like I'm nobody. And you say, but I want the money. I need the money to pay my bills. And God said, no, you don't need to go back there. I'm going to get you a better job. Because I open doors that no one can close, and I close doors that no one can open. Just trust me, son. Trust me, daughter. God wisdom. God knowledge. And then we have to make that decision. Then a lot of times we find ourselves that we're falling short because we wouldn't bless anybody. The length of days in her right hand and in her left hand are riches and honor. Proverbs 18:12-21. 1 Timothy 4:8. Jesus scripture that you ought to look at from time to time. Proverbs 8:12-21. These are powerful scriptures. It's what I like sometimes. Look at the Amplified Bible, and it'll give you a lot of paralyzed scriptures. In other words, scriptures that line up with the same scripture that you're studying. It says, I, wisdom dwell in prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventors. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me princes rule, and nobles, and even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me. Hear that? And those that seek me early shall find me. Talk about wisdom. If you seek in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. See, all the people that you see that position of leadership, they need God wisdom. Even though they don't seek him, they don't go over, and a lot of them are not Christians, but they're using the principles. They're using the principles of God's word to govern their city, their state, their country, their nation, their continent. They're using the principles of God, and they're not saved. God is saying if we would use his principles, we would be able to rule. We'll be able to be in leadership. We're able to prosper, to use his principles. We want the prosperity, but we don't want the principles. You know, we like to say they want the product, but not the principles. Because, see, they don't want to live in an obedient life. That's one of the principles of God. We want to make sacrifice, but we don't want to be obedient. He says here in the Amplified Bible that live or long life is in her right hand. In other words, when you get wisdom, the thing that you would do as an ignorant person, you wouldn't do. Ignorant people are going to go and get involved in all type of stupid things. But when you have wisdom, especially the wisdom of God, you ought the understanding of God, you're not going breaking down people's stores. You're not breaking into people's homes. You're not raping people. You don't want to murder people because you know he said, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit a murder. Hallelujah. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's wife or his ox's ass or anything that's his. So, you know, you understand that these are principles, hallelujah, that we follow when we have the wisdom and the understanding of God. Say, by the sweat of your brow, you shall eat. You're going to work for what you need. You're not going to watch somebody and see, well, they went to the ATM machine and took some money out, and you want their money. They work hard for that money. They're taking the money out to give to their children or to their husband or wife or somebody or pay bills, and then you're going to go up behind them and put a knife in their back and take their money. Then you end up spending a long time in jail because why? You want it easy. You don't want the principle of God. Hear what he says. He says, her ways, which is talking about wisdom, her ways, wisdom, ways, the ways of wisdom are highways to pleasantness. And all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life. Wisdom is a tree of life. To those who lay hold on her, when you get wisdom, you get life. You get life. You know exactly what to say, exactly what to do. You know how to talk with people. Hallelujah. Not talking off the side of your neck. You're talking from the center of your heart. Hallelujah. What you have, what you speak, have substance. It makes sense because you have wisdom. Hear what I'm saying? Hallelujah, Jesus. Here he says, the Lord, by skillful and godly wisdom, has founded the earth. God uses wisdom to do what he's done. Everything that he is doing takes wisdom. Verses 19 in the Logos Bible, he says, Yahweh in wisdom founded the earth. He established the heavens in understanding. Do you hear that? In the Amplified Bible, he says, the Lord by skillful and godly wisdom has founded the earth. By understanding, he has established the heavens. It's also in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. Verse 20 says, by his knowledge, the deeps were broken up, and the skies distill the dew. Do you hear what God, what the word is saying? By his knowledge, the deeps, talking about the ocean, the sea, were broken, and the skies distill dew. Dew is that substance that used to come out. That you get up in the morning, it used to come up from the earth. Now it's coming down from the sky. Before rain was coming to the earth, dew used to come up out the earth and saturate the earth with moisture so that they could have fruit and the fruit trees and the grass and all that stuff until rain first came in the time of Noah. Understand? That's why the people didn't believe Noah, because they've never seen rain or heard of rain before. But this God that we love, he says, by his knowledge, the deeps were broken up. Verse 20 of Proverbs chapter 3. We start at verse 13. And the skies distill or give up dew. Verse 21 says, my son, let them not escape from your sight. Keep sound and godly wisdom and discretion. Keep sound and godly wisdom and discretion. You see, what you get, a lot of times people get cut some wisdom. They know some Bible. They know some Bible. They got to understand how to deliver the word. And they will try to look down on you because you don't know a lot of Bible. We don't know a lot of Bible. We don't have a lot of understanding. What little we have, God give to us. But they have so much, they spend all their time in the Bible. And that's good. But they look down on you and look down on me because we don't know the Greek, we don't know the Hebrew, we don't know the Latin, we don't know all this stuff, the Hebrew and stuff. You understand? They don't have no discretion. They look at you because you know you're young, you just come into ministry. You just got saved, you just got baptized. You know two scriptures. And they try to dog you out, make you look bad in front of people. That's not what God said. He said, use discretion. He said, and there will be life to your inner self when you get this wisdom that God is talking about. It gives you joy unspeakable, full of glory. It gives you on the inside, you have a peace that you can read, you can lay down and miss all kind of stuff going on around you. in your neighborhood, in your city, on your job. But you can still reach down on the inside, take a deep breath, because sometimes even though you have wisdom and understanding, that flesh will make you act up, make us act up out of terms. See, we forget about discretion. But you know what I started practicing myself years ago? When the flesh want to act up and get and act ignorant, because you don't say, oh, well, Pastor, you act like that. No, yes, I used to. But what I do is I take a deep breath. When somebody get on my best nerve, what I do, I take a deep breath. I take a deep breath. Because let me tell you something. We got an old safe. It's an old rusty safe. I like to say it that way. We got a grave in the backyard where we got all that stuff buried. All that hatred and all that confusion, spirit of confusion. And all that stuff we got buried in the grave in the backyard. We wrote it all out and put it on the paper and buried it. But you know when somebody come and get on your best nerves, you run in the backyard and dig up that grave in one shovel scoop. I'm using that analogy. Or you break off the lock off the safe. And then you start acting up. All your neighbors are looking. Well, I thought that was Deacon. Is that Deacon so-and-so? But is that Brother so-and-so? Is that Minister so-and-so? Is that, you know, neighbors going to say, because now they're looking at you. They're looking at me. They're looking at us. They said, well, I thought that he was a minister. I thought that she was this in the church. She was a man of God, man of the cross. You know, they start doing this, why? Because now you has opened a safe that you have closed. Maybe it's been closed for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. However long you've been saved, you have closed that safe. And you've been walking now with the Lord. You've been walking with the Lord. But somebody come and call you some name, call you out of your name, say something about you that is not true or is true or was true back then. And you go right back and open that old safe. And now you want to harm that person. You forget that you are a child of God. This is a lot of stuff inside here. And he said, look, my son, let's go back to 21. Let them not escape from your sight, but keep sound and godly wisdom and discretion, and there will be life to your inner self. That's 22. And a gracious ornament to your neck, your outer self. In other words, people will begin to see that you are someone to really watch, someone to pay attention to. The way you speak, the way you carry yourself, the way you respond to people. You see, because there's something that coming off of you that you can't see, but others can see. People can look at your countenance, look at your face and see that you have joy. I see some people call themselves Christians, and they're in the church. They're in the building. And if you look at their face, they look like they bit a sour lime, a lemon. They look like they bit a lemon. They look, I mean, mad. Praise and worship is going on. And they're mad. They're mad, like you're saying, you're getting the thing, like, why did they even come to the house? What? They don't have no kind of joy. Where is God in this person? And there's somebody new in the house, and they're looking, they say, what's going on? What's going on in the church that person's so mad? Why is they so upset? God, they're not allowing God to take control. Take a deep breath. I used to let people affect my spirit man when I was in the church. And I had to ask God to help me to overcome that. You know? But he says, then you will walk in your way securely and in confident trust. And you shall not dash your foot or stumble. Psalm 91, verse 11 and 12. Proverbs 10 and 9. Final verse of this chapter is verse 24. He said, when you lie down, you shall not be afraid. Yes, you shall lie down and your sleep shall be sweet. Your sleep shall be sweet. You hear what I'm saying? When you lie down in God, when you lie down in God's wisdom, you have a sweet sleep. Listen what it says in the Logos Bible. Hallelujah. Logos Bible. Ah, bless the name of the Lord Jesus. This brief hymn extolling wisdom begins by asserting that the one who finds wisdom and understanding is blessed or happy. Wisdom is then compared to silver, gold, and precious stones. This is Proverbs 13, 14, and 15. Wisdom is more valuable than any of these substances. In Job 28 and 15 to 19, because its benefits, which can include long life, riches, honor, and peace. Gold cannot give you this. Gold can allow you to purchase stuff, but it can't give you long life. You can have a lot of gold and act ignorant. Find yourself locked up in jail for a long time. Even find yourself on death row, and you have plenty of money in the bank, but you take somebody's life. But wisdom and understanding will help you to deviate from those kind of things. Finally, the hymn describes how God, Yahweh, uses wisdom and discretion, verse 19 to 20. It says, happy is the Hebrew word used here, asherah, can indicate being happy or blessed. Psalm 1 and 1. All her paths are peace or peaceful. Describes a path of safety and security. Wisdom will not allow you to walk with people that are uncouth. Wisdom will not allow you to socialize and invest in environments that are detrimental to your soul. Wisdom gives you insight. It gives you insight to truth. It is a tree of life, a symbol of renewal and life. Yahweh is wisdom. Yahweh and wisdom founded the earth. God used wisdom in laying the foundation of the earth. Job chapter 38, verse 4. Proverbs 8 and 22. Now, the depths refers to the primordial sea. Genesis 1 and 2. And then he continued to speak here from chapter 3, verse 21 to 35. In this section, the father encouraged his son to keep wisdom close to his heart. He described the safety and security that comes from a life lived in wisdom, Proverbs 3, verse 23 to 26. He then gives a series of commands pertaining to the treatment of others. When you have wisdom, or when you get the wisdom and understanding of God, you will treat people like God, you want God to treat you. You know, the Bible says if you don't forgive your enemy, how you expect God to, if you don't forgive others, how you expect God to forgive you? You know? We want God to bless us, but we don't want to bless anybody. It's the same thing. The more you give to the poor, the more God gives to you. You know what I like in that scripture? In Proverbs, he says, when you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord, and he will repay to God, because the poor belongs to God. He said, no, I'm not going to let you brag and say how much you give to the poor. He said, I'm going to give you more than you give to the poor. So he gives a series of commands pertaining to the treatment of others. Proverbs 3, verse 27 to 31. Finally, he describes Yahweh's attitude towards the wicked and the righteous. Proverbs 3, 32 to 35. My child. You see, he sees you as his child. This is how God, when God looks upon us, he sees us as his children, and he is Father. That's why he said, don't call no one on earth Father. There's no one as Father but the Father in heaven. So he sees us as his children. So he said, my child, verse 21, my child, may they not escape from your sight. In other words, keep these things before you. The Israelites wrote the Psalms and the Hebrews and in Hebrew and Proverbs, and they wrote the scriptures and put the scriptures on their forehead. They put it on their arm. They had a little pocket that they would write it on parchment and put on their arm. They put it on their doorpost, on their front door. They have something called a mezuzah. And they put the scripture in there. It's at the front, in the front door. It's always before them. Hallelujah. So he said, don't, my child, may they not escape from your sight. May you keep sound wisdom and prudence. The adornment of your neck. The wisdom enhances character, just as jewelry enhances physical beauty. You like to have a nice gold chain around your neck, a nice gold bracelet. Women like a diamond bracelet. So he said, keep this thing around your neck. Keep this around your neck. See, it keeps you on track. He said, your sleep shall be sweet. Those with wisdom sleep peacefully, confident in the protection of God, Yahweh. Psalm 4 and verse 8, Jeremiah 31 and verse 26. See, when we take up the Bible, let's go to chapter 4 of Proverbs. Let's start at verse 1. I like to watch movies on my computer. I got one that I'm watching. Detective movie. It's a series. It's called Hampshire. There's so many. You want to watch the next part. Because you want to get the answer from the part that you're watching. You got to watch the next part, and then you watch the next part. And I keep watching this stuff, and it takes a lot of my time. So when I watch, because there's no cussing at all. That shows remind me of the olden pictures we used to watch. No cussing, no blasphemy in that picture, the series. And I want to see the sheriff is a good guy. He's a good guy, and he don't tolerate foolishness. So I will watch that stuff because I want to see the outcome. And then you got to watch the next one because you want to see the outcome of the end of this one. So this is the way God speaks to us. You got to continue in the word. If you want to get the outcome of it, you got to continue. And you just can't start and stop. And that's it. You got to continue in it. You got to continue walking it. Listen to what he said in chapter 4, the Father's wisdom. The Father's wisdom is what we need. We're talking about the wisdom of God are the treasures of men. What does treasures mean? What treasures is? You hear somebody say, well, I got treasures. You think they got an abundance of gold and silver and diamonds, and they got nice clothes, they got nice cars, they got nice homes, they got jet, they got yacht. When people say they got treasures, you figure they got a lot of stuff. They're wealthy. Well, this is what the wisdom of God does for us. It makes you wealthy with the wisdom and knowledge of God. And when you have the wisdom and knowledge of God, you can get anything. No, people say, I want to have you in my business. I want you to be part of my business because you're very intelligent. You're very smart. I want you to be part of it. And we're going to give you six figures. We're going to start you off with six figures because you have wisdom. See, you can come up with an idea. You can come up with an idea just like a snap of a finger. You have the wisdom of God. When you have the wisdom of God, ideas are going to flow to you. You're able to do things, and you're able to do it the easy way, God's way. It's not the hard way. Sometimes it seems like the hard way because we don't want to follow the instructions. That's when it becomes hard. But God's way is the easy way. I know I go there, and I'm in the field. When I get to go in the field to do some work, Hope, I was praying yesterday, I said, Lord, send some jobs. The weather's starting to change. let some furnaces be broken. You know, not the poor, but the people that have money that can afford it. Let some furnaces, some water heaters be broken or something. I got to install some water heaters, furnaces, or something like that. And before I go, although I have an idea, basic idea of what to look for, if they say that I don't have no heat, you know, I know what to look for. So I would say, Holy Spirit, I need to show me the way to get this job done easy. You know, because I work by job, I don't work by hour. So I said, I'm going to fix this job and fix this furnace for you for $400, $350, $375. Depends on what I surmise it is. Now, if they got to take out the blower and I got to change the inducer motor and all that kind of stuff, and maybe the heat has changed, now it's going almost buying a new furnace. So, but if I tell them I'm going to do it for X, I'm not going to change the price. Because I figure, well, if you don't have no heat, I might just have to put a surface igniter, maybe a transformer. May have a gas valve or something. If it's a gas valve, maybe book seven something, you know, because the valve can cost me like maybe 100 something. I sell it for 400 something, you know. But that's how I make my money, so I can help people. But I asked the Holy Spirit, you know, I know I got an idea, basic idea what I may have to look for, but you know exactly what I need to find. I said, Holy Spirit, show me what I need to find on this furnace, on this air conditioning unit, on this dishwasher, not anything, so that when I get there, it don't take me all day trying to, then I work a whole day and I'm charged, I give them a flat rate, then I don't make no money because I put too much time in. And I go and I get it, well, because I'm asking for God's wisdom, not mine. I'm not depending on me. I'm not trusting on my intellect. We get too smart, so we get so smart we don't want to ask God. Yes, you know how to drive your truck. You know how to drive your car. You know how to ride your motorcycle. I said, God, help me to drive this thing in a way that when I go down the highway, I don't lose control on the highway and wipe out nobody and wipe myself out. Lord, help me that while I'm riding and going up the highway that I don't hit it. I see every crevice in the street, every crack in the street, that I don't drop in a pothole and lose control and go over the bar and break my neck. You got to talk, bring that stuff. Because you got your license and got this, you can know how to take your Lamborghini and drive down, 100 miles. Man, you're going to kill yourself or kill someone. Ask God for safety, safe travel. Ask God to die, be the chauffeur. You'll be the co-pilot. Let God be the chauffeur. You're going to get your destination. This is wisdom. He said, children, listen to the instructions of your father and be attentive. Listen, pay attention. In order to know insight. See, we want to get insight. We want to be able to see, hear, and then do. Because a lot of times what happened to us as believers, guess what happened? We hear and we see, but we don't do. We get instructions, but we don't activate it, like James says. Don't just be a hearer of the word, but become a doer of the word. Hallelujah. Oh, we get some doctrine every day, but do we activate it in our lives? How do you respond to your wife? How do you respond to your husband? How do you respond to your children? You say you're never going to be nothing. I know you're just going to be like your father. You're just like your mama. Look at you. You and your brother, you and your sister ain't no good. They ain't going to never be nothing. Guess what happens? They end up running back and forth in jail. It becomes a revolving door for them because you put that spirit over them. Hear what he says. Listen to him speaking. He said, children, listen to the instruction of your father and be attentive, pay attention in order to get insight, to get knowledge, to get wisdom. People hear you preaching, teaching all day long. Nobody taking notes. The pastor says, bring a paper, bring a piece of paper, bring a notebook. Bring something, bring a pen with you. If you don't have a notebook, open your cell phone. You have a notebook on your cell phone. All of these computers have a place called a notebook, places that I write sermons on in the computer, so I don't have to carry all the Bibles with me, heavy Bible. And then I got another place that I put, another place that I put notes also. That's very important. It's in the on the computer. And your phone have the same thing. Listen, he said, for I have given you good instructions. Do not forsake my teaching. See, what God gives to us is good. There's nothing bad about what God's given to us. We don't want to pick out we only want to pick out the ones that talking about prosperity, about riches. You know, we just want the ones that talk, we're going to have all this and have all of that. But what about the ones that are going to tell you how to live? See, because the Bible is very clear. We want the stuff that going to make us look good to mankind. But what about the stuff that makes us presentable before God? That's why Jesus, he put that in the Bible. What would a profit of man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what can you give in exchange for your soul? There's a reason why he put it in there. Because he knew that we would be focused on the things of the world. He knows the end before the beginning. So he's trying to help us and protect us from being cast into the pit of hell. No way out. One way in and no way out. He's trying to protect us. So he says, for I have given you good instructions. Do not forsake my teaching. Hallelujah. When I was a son to my father, tender and alone before my mother, he taught me and said to me, may your heart hold fast to my words. Guard my commandments and live. May you keep my words in your heart, not in your head, in your heart. Hold them, hold fast, keep them secure. Guard them, protect them. Why? They're going to cause you to live. They're going to allow you to live. If you protect them, we're going to do a part three of this too. So let's go on. Part three. So let's go. He said, get wisdom and insight. Do not forget and do not turn from the sayings of my mouth. Get wisdom and insight. Listen to what he said in the King James Version. I like it here. He said, get wisdom and get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. With all thy getting, you get a wisdom. You're getting some stuff, but make sure you get some understanding. There's a lot of people that had wisdom or have wisdom, and so using their wisdom, they got a lot of stuff. Or they got riches. You got people that won the lottery. You have people that got inheritance of a lot of thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, if not millions. Some got millions. And end up sleeping on the streets as a bag man, a bag lady, broken. You hear what I'm saying? Nasty, filthy. Because why? They had no understanding. They had some wisdom when they got the stuff. Said, well, oh, yo, I got some wisdom. But they had no understanding, because wisdom would allow you, understanding would allow you to exercise your, activate your wisdom in the right way. See, you know how to spend your money, how to manage your money. Hallelujah. You know, they got people that go to school. They go to school just to learn what we, just to get an understanding of what we tell you today. They pay hundreds of dollars to get what we are telling you today. I was talking to a bishop. I think he just died too. He was younger than I am. He's over now, Chicago. And I was talking to a young man who just got a doctorate degree. You know, everybody want to be a doctor of theology. Because they don't want you to call them bishop this body, apostle this body. You got to call them apostle, bishop, doctor, apostle, bishop this body, all that kind of stuff. Because they don't stop. They want to get every time. Then you can't go no higher. You get apostle, then they want to be a chief apostle. Only Jesus is chief apostle. You get a bishop, they want to be archbishop. Then they get to become an archbishop or an apostle, a chief apostle. Then they want to be doctor, chief apostle, whatever the name is. Stupid, man. Man, you got to get this stuff in your heart. You don't need to be no doctor and all this stuff. You need to get the word of God in your heart. He said, you got to go after this, man. You got to go after this like it's the last thing. Go after it. See, you got to become hungry and thirsty for it. Man, seek for it like, man, this is your life. This is your life. Seek it. And he said, my Lord Jesus. He says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Wisdom is a thing that you need. It's a very important thing. It's the principal thing. It's the thing that puts you on the right path. But he says, look, you need to get understanding. He says, even though wisdom is the principal thing that puts you on the path, now you need understanding how to activate this wisdom. How you going to activate this wisdom? You know, when you get a car, you get a new car. Even though you can drive already. If Mr. Jones, he drives a big truck. Now, if they give him now a new truck, every other truck that comes out has the improve on all the technology on it. All this computerized, everything is elevated. They're going higher and deeper. They give you a manual. So you know you got the wisdom how to turn on the truck. You got to know how to press the clutch. If you got a stick shift, if it's automatic, you know how to put it in drive. But there's still a lot more things that you need to know. So you need to open the manual. You have to spend an hour, 2 hours, sometimes more, going over the manual. 2 or 3 hours don't even give you half of it. I have my car. My car right now is 10 years or something like that. And about 10 years, yeah. And I sometimes have to go back and pick up the manual because I'm trying to find something out. Even though I bought a computer from Amazon that I hooked up to the car. You know, this one like you use inside a repair place. You know, it looks like an iPad. And I plug it into my car. I got a little part that plugs in the car. Looks like a cell phone that plugs into the car. And then I got the part in the house, which is like a laptop, and I can put in. And when I bring up that diagram, then it showed me all the different cars. And I look for Cadillac. When I hit Cadillac, you know, I can from my house, I can diagnose everything that's going on with my truck from inside the house. And they tell me exactly what's wrong with the truck. But you have to go. This is what you call activating wisdom, activating understanding to activate the wisdom. We want this stuff that's in the Bible, but we don't want to spend no time with it. So everything the devil sends at us knocks us out because we don't have the understanding how to activate the wisdom that make the devil run backwards, make him back up. See, because when we get to understand this, the devil will flee. The Bible says, trust in the Lord, resist the devil, trust the Lord, he will flee from you. And see, when you get to understand this, when you get to activate this wisdom in your life, you'll know how you can stand flat-footed. Trust in the Lord in everything that you want done. You trust in him because you know your power comes from him. The authority that you have come from, let's go to Luke chapter 9. Keep your finger there in Proverbs. Let's go to Luke chapter 9. Glory to God. This is what you got to know. He said, then he called, Luke chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. He said, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure all diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Do you hear that? When you get wisdom and understanding, you'll know what you have. The power that is inside of you to do what he calls you to do. But in order to get that, you have to open the manuscript. This is your blueprint for living. Basic instructions for living before leaving earth. You gotta get this thing inside of you. You have to spend time in this. If you don't spend time in it, guess what happens? The devil will be slapping us up next to our head every minute he gets, every second he gets, because he don't stop. He doesn't stop. Even when you have it, he's still coming at you. Tell you really believe in all that stuff? You believe in all that stuff that man's saying over there? You believe in all that stuff that woman's saying over there? You think that stuff going to work for you? It worked for them, but they're not going to work for you. All that stuff, and then doubt comes in. let's go back in here. I want to get down to verse 24, and then we're gonna close out. We come back and do a part three. But we got a lot of stuff we want to give you. A lot of stuff. Oh God. Yeah. Let me see. Oh yeah. We're gonna go a little further than that because I keep on there. Yeah. Let's go to verses. All right. Verses 9, and then we're gonna jump. Let's go to verse 9. Let's just say that. Verse 8 says, in King James Version, it says, exalt her, and she will promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou thus embrace her. If you lift up the word of God, the word of God is the wisdom of God. It is God. It is the power of God. It is the essence of who God is. If you lift it up, the Bible says that she will reward you. She will bring you before kings, before princes, before honor. You hear what that? Verse 9 says, she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Do you hear that? This is what living a kingdom life does for us. It's difficult. Hallelujah. But when you start to live it, guess what happened? Things begin to change. Go down to verse 20. You can read this whole book for you, but I want to jump out and jump around. Verse 20 says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ears unto my saying. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. That's in the center, not the bottom. People say, I love you. Don't love me from the bottom of your heart. That's with all your filters. Love me from the center. He says, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Do you know the more you begin to study God's word, you'll get life in your flesh. In other words, you have power over your flesh. Because the word of God, the Bible says, the entrance of thy word giveth light. And it giveth understanding to the simple. Proverbs 1:19, verse 1:30. This is what the word of God does. If we keep putting this thing in, man, you begin to start to glow. You start to glow. Matter of fact, your temperance, your countenance, oh God, everything about us changes. Your wife begins to look at you. She's looking at you. You can look. She's seeing something different. Your husband is looking at you. He's seeing something different. Why? Because the inside is changing. And when the inside change starts to change, the outside begins to change. People begin to see a glow on the outside of you that you don't see yourself. You look in the mirror. Somebody they're talking about, I'm glowing. You look in the mirror. You can't see it. It's spiritual. But people can see it. Even the way you phrase your words, the way you speak, the way you carry yourself. You're not sloppy. You're not swagging. You're walking with grace. You're walking with authority, with boldness, with confidence. All this happens when you begin to get this inside of you. This wisdom and understanding that Solomon is talking about. Listen to what he says, still in the King James Version. He says, for they are life unto those that find them and have to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. Hold your finger there. Go to Matthew 12 and 34. Matthew. So you got to keep your heart. God is not keeping your heart for you. That's what a lot of people think. He said, keep your heart. God will fix your heart for you, but you got to keep it. Remember David said, created me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. But no, you got to keep it. After it's fixed, you got to keep it. You got to maintain it just like your car. You take your car to the gas station or to the repair station, back to the dealer, and they change the oil. They change the fluids, the water, and distilled water, all the stuff they put in the battery. and the radiator and the change all the fluids. No, you have to wash the dials. Wash the dials. You know, I got computers in my car. And I check the computer. Computer tell you how much life I have on my oil. It tell you if the water low, if the tires are low, which tire, black, white, right, front tire, left, right, left, front, left, rear, left, right, rear. It tells you everything. You got to check the stuff. Hallelujah. You got to make sure that you are still flowing in the spirit. You got to make sure that you are still feeding your spirit the word of God. It's like medicine to the bone. You have to feed it every day. Open your Bible. Don't worry about what the neighbor's doing. Don't worry about what this body's trying to do or not. No, you feed make yourself strong in the Lord. Don't depend on the pastor or the apostle or the bishop. Get and open your Bible for yourself. Paul then said that the pastor going to work out your salvation. He said you got to work out your own soul of salvation with fear and trembling. You got to do it. I got to do it. I can't depend on my pastor. Yes, I appreciate my pastor, but no, I got to depend on myself. I got a Proverbs 12:24. This is what it says. Matthew 12:24. Excuse me. Sorry. I'll feed the Holy Ghost right there. 12:24. Matthew 12:24. Listen to God. It's Jesus speaking. Listen to what he says. Matthew 12:24. He said, but when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out devils, but with Beelzebub, the prince of the devil. No. Watch. When do I bring that scripture in? They start to talk about Jesus. Jesus is doing miracles. Okay? He doing all kind of miracles. There are people watching you and I. They're looking for something to go wrong in our walk. They're looking for something to go wrong in our ministry. Because remember, your life is your ministry, not your preaching in the church building. People have to tell my ministry, my church, my this, all that. They're boasting on that stuff. But look, they're living like hell. You hear what I'm saying? They're living like hell. They're preaching well, but they're living like hell. The preacher said the other night, he said, a lot of people are preaching the gospel, but there's no gospel in them. I said, whoa, that's powerful. He said they're preaching the gospel, but there's no gospel in them. What are you saying? They're not living what they're preaching. By right, sing that song before he died, practice what you preach. So your lifestyle is your ministry. Because, see, you can preach hard on Sunday morning. You can teach hard on Wednesday night. But on Thursday, the people are looking at you. Friday, they're looking at you. Saturday, they're looking at you to see how you're living. You coming out the motel, Holiday Inn, Motel 6, with another man that's not your husband, with another woman that's not your wife. You're coming out Mary's window, coming out through the window. Trying to get out, coming in the back door, going out the side door. Yeah, as you understand, we're not living it. And this is what it said, the credit of Jesus, he said that he healed by Beelzebub, because he didn't recognize that he's the Messiah, he's God in the flesh. And they tried to say he was casting out devils by Beelzebub. And Jesus didn't tell him, if a house divided cannot stand, if the devil casts out the devil, who casts he out? And the devil can't castle themselves. Take God to castle the devil, the spirit of God. So here he says, listen. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, but far from thee. See, you got to get rid of that devious way of thinking, devious way of speaking, deception. You understand? Lying and cheating. All that stuff you got to put away from you. Why? Because that's not of God. And this is what God is saying to us. See, once we get the mind of Christ, something happens. We begin to think like him, talk like him, and live like him. But it's a process. Don't say what possible. No, I'm not saying all this is going to happen one time. It's a process. We're doing this thing in a process. You don't get a cake all of a sudden. When you get a cake, you got to put the flour, you got to put the raisins or whatever you want, the coconut, you know, like the coconut cake. You got to put all the essence, vanilla, strawberry, whatever you want to put in. You got to put the oil, you got to put the butter, you got to put all the different things that you got to, there's a lot of things that before you can get the cake. But then as you mix it up and everything come to a nice soft mixture, then they call it a puri. It comes to a puri, and you don't put it in the pan. Then you put it in the oven, set the oven to 350 degrees, let the oven heat up, and you put it in the oven. No, you got to wait. This waiting time is a process. And you're going to take a peek. Ever so often, you take a little peek. Mama used to say, don't walk on the floor too high, boy, because if you step on the floor, you're going to disturb the cake, and the cake going to fall. So we couldn't walk through the kitchen at all because we had wooden floors. And the wooden floors sometimes would quick. They weren't solid. Not like the floors you got out there. Was the floors not set on cement? So they're solid. But it's the same way. Same in the natural, same in the spirit. We want everything one time. We have a microwave mindset, especially when it comes to God. We want it like yesterday. We can't even wait. But it's a process. It's a process. He told Abraham and Sarah, in the process of time, in the process of time, in other words, in 9 months, you would have a baby. You would have a son. Sarah laughed. She didn't believe that God can give her a child because she was old and her womb was all shriveled up. And next thing you know, she tell Abraham, go in and sleep with the handmaiden. Hear God. And bring Ishmael. That's where we got all that stuff going on right now in the Middle East. Ishmael and Isaac. They're fighting against each other. They're brothers and sisters. And they're fighting against each other. That's the Bible, people. So don't be surprised because God saw all this stuff would happen. Look at Jacob. Jacob and Esau. They fought, even in the belly they were fighting. Even in the belly they were fighting. But listen, let's get this one here. He says, you got to put this away from you. Deceitfulness, devious thinking, devious doing stuff. People always got so much tricks for them. You know? You are a woman of God, a man of God, and you got so much deception with you. Full of deception. Lying, cheating, conniving, backbiting, gossiping. You know a lot of scriptures, know how to talk, know how to preach, but you're full of backbiting. Full of gossiping. Always talking with people. Get on the telephone with your girlfriend, talking with your brother and your sister. Can't stop. Full of stuff. Listen what he says. Oh, my God, I got a little bit more time. Here he says, let thine eye look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. He said, now you got to watch where you're walking. You know, if I go through a grass patch, man, I'm telling the truth. The only thing on earth I believe that I'm really scared of is a snake. I tell the truth. My granddaughter and I, we went over to the park a couple of years ago. We used to always go to the park and walk in the evening time. She got from school. They go walk. And one day we're walking. I walk in the grass close to the water. It's got a big lake. Man, I saw this little snake. He's about 12 or 14 inches. Boy, if he's that long, 12 or 14 inches. Little snake. And I just saw it. You know how to zigzag through the grass. My God. But I didn't understand because I didn't know too much about snakes. But I just know that I always hear them say, if a snake bites you, you got to have a doctor with you. If you don't have a doctor, you would die. So that little snake just did like, he wasn't a big snake, but like about 12 inches, 12 to 14 inches long, if that long. But he didn't just shed his skin, you know. And he looked just like a chicken without feathers. And he just make that little zigzag thing. Man, I jumped so high up in the air. My granddaughter was laughing. She was laughing so bad. She said, yeah, good. She said, Grandpa, you jumped like a ballerina. She said, you jumped like a ballerina. And she always keep telling me, she said, Grandpa, I remember when the snake is walking through the park and you see that snake, you jumped like a ballerina. I said, praise God, but he didn't get a chance to bite me, though. I said, he didn't get a chance, but my granddaughter was laughing. I jumped so high, and it was just a little bitty thing. We got one came across the street here. He was about, he looked like he was 4 feet long, big, long black snake. And he went from, came out the water and went across the street. Well, I ain't walk up that street since. I had to walk up the hill from the house. I ain't walk across this since. You know, snakes give me the jeebies, man. I know some people go pick them up and all kinds of stuff. I don't pick them. You know, they had them people, them preachers used to be on the internet preaching that said you could pick up a snake and grab them. You know, the guy, them snake preachers from down somewhere down south, hillbillies. They got the kids go there and catch the rattlesnake and bring home the rattlesnake and put the rattlesnake in the box. And they sing and dance with the rattlesnake. And the man put the snake on his face and all around his neck and all that, and find that doggone snake bite him. Guess what he did? He died, too. He was doing that for quite some time, young man. Father, mother, all of them, but that's for the snake. You see him on TV, they make a show on TV, the gospel, singing the hillbilly sounds, hillbilly gospel and preaching. And they're good preachers. But, you know, you have to live right. Everything got to be right about you. Everything got to be right, man. But you can't live in sin and play with the devil. You know, you can't live in sin and play with the devil. Because you play with him, guess what? He's going to take you out. Some people want to dance, talk with God and dance with the devil. You know, you can't do that. Well, let me just, I have a conversation with the Lord. I talk with him, and then I'm going to dance with the devil. You can't do that. Either you dance with the devil or you're talking with the Lord. You got to make up your mind which partner you want to have. Which partner you want to have. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 7. We got enough to give you another part of this. We'll give you Proverbs chapter 7, Proverbs chapter 8, just a couple of verses, one or two verses, and then we're going to close out. The Lord is with us. Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 1. Listen to what he says. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from strange women, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house, I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youth a young man void of understanding, passing through the streets near her corner, and he went the way of her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot. She was dressed like a prostitute. She was a prostitute. And subtle in heart, she was smooth talker. God said, you got to watch where you put your feet. Remember, we read that just now. You got to watch in chapter 4. You got to watch where you put your feet. Where are you going? I used to go to the strip club before I was a preacher, before I was in a part of the house of God. I worked for an air conditioning company, and all of them white boys, they like to go to the strip club in the evening, go to take all the happy hour. And the women don't have no tops on, just a little bikini. They strip around their vagina, and the string coming through the behind. They show you the cheeks coming, bend down in front of you on the stage. And we sit right up to the front. We stick money inside the little bikini. I wouldn't even call it underwear. See, you got to watch where you put your feet, where you go. That's what it means, where you go. We look real pious on Sunday morning, but Monday evening, we at the strip club. Where are you going? And this young man here was led astray. If you read the whole story, we're not going to, because he put his foot in the wrong place. He go in that, see, that's why I say you gotta work while it is day, because when night come, no man can work. See, the devil comes out in the nighttime. They're working the day too, but they'll do more work in the nighttime. More work, more destruction in the nighttime. And that's what we do. We go in the nighttime. We go to the nighttime. My granddaughter told me, she said, well, Daddy, granddad, you don't go nowhere. I said, I don't got a place to go. I go to God's house on Sunday morning. I come back here. I don't have nowhere to go. The rest of my life is to spend with the Lord. Verse chapter 8. I'm going to give you a couple of verses in chapter 8, and we're going to start. Does not wisdom cry and understanding put forth her a voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way of the places of the path. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O man, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. Do you hear that? They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that findeth knowledge. Receive my instructions, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine, saith the Lord, and sound wisdom. I am understanding, and I have strength. By me kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, adorable riches and righteousness. He said, my fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the path of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Let's stop there. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you, O God, for allowing us to hear your voice. Thank you, God, for enlightening us to a higher dimension in you, O God, for giving us great understanding, great wisdom, O God. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God. O God, for there's none compared to you. No one compared to you. You are the everlasting Father, the sovereign Lord. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, we just bless you this day. We ask you, O God, that you continue to protect these men and women that are on this line right now. Keep them safe and secure in all that they do, all that they say. Lord, we ask you to bless their going and bless their coming, O God. We ask you to bless their hands and everything that they do. Bless their lips that they will speak truth. Bless their hearts that they will receive truth. Bless their feet that they will walk in the light. Oh, Father, we ask you, O God, to cover their heads from all that the enemy will try to attack them. Every thought that the enemy will try to put in their heads, Lord, put it, the helmet of salvation on, O God, that their head will be protected from every arrow that the enemy send out. Let it return to the enemy. Father, we'll be careful to give you glory, honor, and praise. Today, your soul is immortal. It will never die. But as it separates from your body, there are two possible destinations for it: heaven, eternity with God, everlasting happiness, or eternity without God, everlasting suffering. There is only one person in this world with the ability to choose where you are going to live eternally. You may say that person is God, but God says in his word, the Bible, that that person is you. Only you can choose or determine the eternal destination of your soul. You may, if you wish, choose heaven now. But if you think you can leave this matter for another time, the choice of eternity without God will have been chosen for you. If you die right now, this is where you will go forevermore. If you do not die now, you will still be walking towards eternity without God. Certainly, you would prefer to go to heaven. And to be sure that you will enjoy heaven, this is what you must do. Number one, you must recognize that you are a sinner. God says in his word, the Bible, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Number two, you must recognize that heaven, you must recognize that you cannot go to heaven by your own efforts. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Number three, you must believe that Jesus Christ can take you to heaven. Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except through me. He did not say that he was one of the ways. He said that he is the only way. He is the truth, and that he is the life, and that no one can come to the Father except through him. Understand that. Number four, you must accept Jesus Christ as the only Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Acts 16:31. Some may say, I am still young, and I can leave this matter for later. I would like to say two things. You do not need to be old to be near eternity. Number two, the prophecies of this Bible, or of the Bible, says that Jesus will return again. And these prophecies are being fulfilled in our days. How will your life be on that day? Think about it. Because the only way to reach this blessing is through Jesus. Salvation is a blessing. It's a gift from God. Jesus says, behold, I am coming quickly. Did not say I was coming quick. He said, I'm coming quickly. That means he's coming quicker than quick. The Bible says he's coming in a twinkle of an eye. Before you can snap your finger, he's going to be here. No man knows the day or the hour. That's in Revelation 22:7. Behold, I'm coming quickly. If you decide not to choose Jesus, know that you are walking towards eternity without God, under God's wrath or judgment. He who does not believe the Son Jesus, the wrath of God abides on him, or the judgment of God is on him. John 3:36b. The Bible says that you must confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The scripture said, whosoever believe on him should not be ashamed. Romans 10:9-11. In Acts 2:38, Peter said, let every one of you repent and be baptized for the remission of sin, and you shall receive, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Let's say that again. Acts 2:38, because I'm thinking as I'm reading, reminiscing on the word. He said, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did they testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation, or from this crooked generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. And in Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other name. You have to be baptized. You have to repent. You have to be baptized in Jesus' name. Jesus says in Mark 16:15-18, he said unto them, his disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. This is the gospel. We have to get this thing right down inside, deep down inside our heart. You got to get it in our heart. The word of God. You got to repent for your sins, all your sins. It's the Bible sins, S-I-N-S, sins. It says sin. You got to repent for your sins. God wants to save you, wants to deliver us from all of our sins, not just sin. He wants to deliver us from all our sins. This is how much he loves us. Glory to God. This is how much he loves us. He wants to deliver us from all of them, not some of them. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, take this moment to just go before the Lord in your time, your private time, right where you are. You don't have to go to the church building. Right where you are, just go to the Lord. Ask the Lord to forgive you. Tell the Lord that you're sorry of your sins. You know what you've been doing. You know what your life was all about. I don't have no heaven or hell to put you in, so I'm not here to judge anybody. Because I still got stuff that I'm dealing with in my mind, in my soul, in my heart. Stuff that I'm dealing with. I'm not perfect. None of us are perfect. None of us have risen to the place that we can say that because we preached the word, we got it all together. We all still got stuff. If we were perfect and we were doing everything right, God would have called us home already. He would have bring us home because he said, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, you may be also. So it's a contingency. I can't go there till everything is the way God wants them. So he's working on me, just like he's working on you. If you let him work on you, he'll work on you some more. Just let him work on you. Hallelujah. Just let him work on you. Glory to God. And if you don't know him, repent right where you are. Ask Jesus to come into your heart. Ask him to come into your heart. Jesus, ask him. You see, the Bible says you have not because you ask not. Ask the Lord to come into your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And I understand from listening to the pastor that you are the only one that have the power, the authority, the know-how to save my soul. You're the one who paid the price at Calvary. So I know that you're the one that can save me. I believe according to the word of God that the preacher said, I believe that if I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that which you've done on the cross, that I will be saved. And Lord Jesus, today I'm denouncing Satan right now. I am denouncing Satan right now and all that he stood for, all that he stands for, the lying, the deception, and all that conniving that he was doing, that he had me working and doing for him. I was working for him. You know all my story, Lord. Nothing in my heart is hidden from you. Today I'm confessing it before man and before God so that the devil know that I'm turning my life over to you right now, Jesus. And I'm asking you to come into my heart and take up your rightful position in my heart as my Lord, my Savior, and my soon coming King. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross, that you was on that hill called Calvary or Golgotha, the skull, I believe that you died there. And you died there because of my sins, because you were without sins. I believe that you love me enough that you leave your home in glory and came into time just to set me free. And today, Jesus, I am accepting you now as my only Lord and Savior. Right now, I'm accepting you. And I'm asking you, Lord God, to receive me as your son or daughter, whatever gender you are. There's only two genders. So if you're a man, ask him to receive you as a son. If you're a woman, ask him to receive you as the daughter. But when we get to heaven, when we get to heaven and we are with him in eternity, there are not going to be any genders. There are not going to be men and women. There are not going to be husband and wife. There's only going to be one wife in heaven. Okay, one gender, just children of God. So, just call upon him right where you are. Tell the Lord that you receive him now. Say, Jesus, my heart is open, and I'm inviting you to come into my heart. Be my Lord, my Savior, and my soon-coming King. Take control of my life. Lead me and guide me into all truth. If you told him that and you believe what you just said with your mouth, you just received the gift of salvation. It's that simple. Now get a Bible and begin to study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts, so you get a gospel understanding of this Jesus, the Messiah that we talk about every day. You know, we like to talk about him. We like to tell people about him because it's, you know, we get joy talking about Jesus. It's excitement in our hearts. I don't know about you, but I just love to talk about it and just reminisce of all the things that he has done for me and is doing for me, because he never stopped. He's always doing stuff for me. Not because he loved me so much. He never stopped doing stuff for me. I don't know about you, but he never stopped doing stuff for me. Glory to God. So you have recited the prayer of salvation, and you're giving your life to Christ Jesus today. Now call up a pastor, preacher, teacher that know how to baptize in Jesus' name, and tell them that you're giving your life to Christ and you want to be baptized in Jesus' name. And invite your friends, your family, your co-workers, and even your enemies. Why? Because you want witnesses. You hear what I say? You want witnesses to be there to see, to know that you have given your life for sure to Christ Jesus. This is what it's all about. And before you get baptized, I want you to know that you're going down in that place we call a liquid grave. And as you're going down that grave, you're leaving all the things that held you in bondage. You're leaving it in that pool. But when you come out of that pool, you're coming up in the righteousness of who Christ says you are. And I thank God for you all for hearing me out today and for giving your life to Christ Jesus. Your life will never, ever, 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 ever be the same. I'm not saying that your life is going to be perfect, but I'm telling you that your life will never, ever, ever, ever be the same. I know this to be sure, to be true, because ever since that day that I gave my life to Christ, my life haven't been the same. That didn't mean that I didn't have problems. That don't mean that I don't go through attacks. That don't mean that people don't accuse me of this and accuse me of that. Why? Because I said that I belong to Christ. And when you say you belong to him, you're going to be attacked. There's no easy way. There's no other way I can see it. You're going to be attacked. So find a church that's preaching and teaching the gospel and get yourself involved. You go to the pastor and tell the pastor after you get baptized that you have been baptized, you are a son or daughter of the Most High God, and you want to become the part of the church. After you find the church, don't join the first church that you see unless there's a church that's preaching and teaching the gospel. But seek for a church that is preaching the gospel, because everybody's not preaching the gospel. Everybody's preaching something, but not necessarily the gospel. You understand what I'm saying? Some people are preaching. They're saying something that sounds good, But is it the gospel? So you want to be in a church that is preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. And then you get yourself involved. I know when I first got in the church, I was cleaning the bathroom and all that stuff. You know, I was cleaning the bathroom. And that's no joke. People said, you clean the bathroom? Yeah, I clean the bathroom. I used to have my jumper. I have one of those jumpers like an aircraft pilot jumper. I have one of those. I have one still in my car now. And I have tools in my car. I will go to church. I have tools. So the pastor said, if I'm visiting the pastor, man, the air condition is hot. The 100 degrees, 110 degrees out, and the air condition is going dead in the church. I said, I tell the pastor, hey, everybody come, but they may not know that I'm that's my field, that I'm a plumbing, heating, and air conditioning tech, that's my field. I have a degree in that. So I said, I tell the pastor, I said, no worry, I'll take care of it. And I would go there and get my tools, and I'll go and fix the problem. And they would say, great, I was just out of church, and when I was at church, the toilet, they only had one toilet, and the toilet was broken. It was running water constant. You could hear the water singing coming up through the tube. And I went to the bathroom, closed the door, and fixed it. Just pulled my sleeve up and fixed it. It was a simple problem. You know, you use your gifts for the kingdom, man. And if you use your gifts for the kingdom, God's going to reward you. Do you hear me? God's going to reward you if you use your gifts for the kingdom. Don't think that you have to get paid for everything you do. Just do, use your gifts for the kingdom. God bless you all. Thank those that receive salvation, those that are going to receive salvation later. The line is now open for anyone that want to respond. But glory to God. Glory to God. I was just having a cup of dandelion herbs. Clean my kidneys out. So God bless you all. I thank you all. Thank God for Mr. Jones, Prophetess Kersey, Pastor Stewart, Brother Mark, Deacon Fraser. We thank God for all you all that came on today and hear the word. If the Lord say the same, we'll be here tomorrow again, teaching and releasing the word of God. So God bless you all. Let's pray and close up. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. Thank you for the word that you have given us. Thank you for these men and women that came on the line today to hear the word. Lord, we know there's many people out there that are receiving your word as it goes forth because they're texting me. They're telling me that they love the word. Lord, and we're not doing this to get no accolades, but Lord, they're loving the word, your word, and your word is making a difference in so many hundreds of thousands of people's lives out there. We ask you, God, to continue to bless them. God, we pray for Brother Mark today, Lord, for his wife, his children, whatever situation he's in. We ask, God, that you continue to heal him, continue to strengthen him, continue to let him know in whatever way, however way that you want him to make him know that you are the one in control, that you are the one that's strengthening him, that you're the one that's keeping him, and that let him know that no weapons formed against him will prosper, and every tongue that rises against him in judgment, God, that you have already condemned it right now. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you. Father, we praise you. Father, we glorify your name. We honor you right now, Lord Jesus. We thank you for doing your will being done in our lives, O God. We thank you for ordering our steps in your word, O God. We thank you for keeping us, O God. Oh, Father, we don't take your keeping power, your keeping grace lightly. Oh, God, we honor you. We appreciate all that you do for us every day, Lord God. We thank you, God, that when the doctors say no, that it can't happen, that you say yes, that you will do it. Oh, Father, we bless you right now. We praise you right now. Oh, Father, we just ask you, God, to continue to touch Apostle Stewart and Pastor Joyce Stewart. We pray for Apostle Linda Washington, Bishop James Washington, Apostle Millie Jefferson, her sister, and all those over there. And Brother Deacon Fraser. Lord, we pray, oh God, for strength right now. Strength right now, God, that you continue to empower us to declare your truth, oh God, because there's power in your truth, oh God. There's power in your word. Your word is truth, oh God. David said, your word is a lamp unto my feet and light unto my path, God. God, I pray for Israel right now as always, go, God. We pray for Jerusalem, Lord God. We pray, oh God, for Syria, Iraq, and Iran, Lord. We pray for all of these nations that are going through right now. We pray, oh now, Lord God, that you continue to keep Israel, Prime Minister, safe, oh God. There's so much people that wants to do him harm and do his family harm and do the people harm. But God, we know that you're in control. Oh God, you are in control, Lord. That you're the one that sit high and see low. You're the one that reigns forevermore, God. We ask, Father God, that you save lives, oh God. God, we ask you that you control all that's going on right now, Lord. You turn, oh God, crooked places and make them straight. Oh God, you turn rough places plain right now in the name of Jesus, Father. We thank you, oh God. We thank you and praise you, oh God, for the prophetess Cheryl Kersey, oh God, and Minister Darren Kersey, Lord. We pray for him, Jones, Darren Jones, oh God. We pray for him right now, for his wife. Lord God, we pray that you keep us safe, Lord God, because there's things that are happening all over this country, all over the world, God, that these radical Muslims attacking Christians, not only Jewish people, but they're attacking Christians too. And we know that this, because the Bible says in the last days that we will be persecuted, that some of us will go to jail, some of us will go to prison, some of us will be killed for his name's sake, oh God. But Lord, we thank you right now, God, as to die is to live. And we cannot live until we die, oh God. That's why we got to get our lives right, be right. Our lives got to be right. Got to get our lives right so that we can live for you, Lord God. That if we die, we're dying for you and with you, and oh God, and that we will go to that place, oh God, in that place, oh God, where you are, Lord God. Because Paul said to be absent from this body, this filthy body, is to be present with you, God. We ask you now, Lord Jesus, to have your way in us. Oh, God, order all steps these days. And, Father, as you, oh, God, touch the leaders, touch this country, this United States of America, touch the Caribbean, oh, God, touch Africa, touch Europe, oh, God. Oh, God, touch the mother country, the continent, oh, God. Lord God, we pray, God, that you touch every president, every prime minister, every congressman, every judge, every magistrate, the police department, fire department, the schools, oh God, teachers, children, oh God, husbands and wives, oh God, we ask you to bring peace. A lot of marriages and people are being divorced right now, God. We ask you to bring peace in the marriages, oh God. Oh God, we ask you to fight, oh God, for the marriage, oh God, because you ordained marriage in the Garden of Eden, oh God. But Satan trying to destroy marriages, oh God. We pray today in the name of Jesus, oh God, that you begin, oh God, you continue to saturate marriages with your love, oh God. You say what God has put together, let no man put asunder, Lord. We pray today in the name of Jesus, Father. Now as we leave this line, but never your presence, oh God. We pray that you bless us in the city, bless us in the field, bless us when we come and bless us when we go, oh God. That you make us the head and not the tail, that you set us above and not beneath. Father, that you open doors for us that no one can close, and close those that no one can open. Father, send the blessing, let the money come in, let the funds come in, that we can be a blessing to some more, to many people, oh God, that are waiting to hear, know when we get the blessing so they can be blessed, because they know once we get the blessing, we're going to bless them, Lord. We ask you, Father God, to bless us. Bless us, oh God. Bless us beyond our comprehension, oh God, so that we can be a blessing, oh God. And Father, we'll be careful, oh God, to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' holy name, we pray. Amen and amen and amen. You all have a blessed day, a safe day. We have talked to you all until more, if the Lord say the same. God bless. Bye-bye.